You're listening to Inside on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Duncan in for Beth Rujak. When Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs announced plans for a guaranteed income program in his city, he was met with skepticism. But the pilot project called Stockton Economic Empowerment Distribution, or SEED, officially launched in February. 100 residents received their first monthly payment of $500. The payments are unconditional, with no work requirements attached, but recipients will participate in regular check-ins over the course of the 18 months to evaluate the impact on financial security, civic engagement, and health and wellness. Joining us today is Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to meet you. So let's talk about SEED in a moment and some other issues that are pressing, but I'd love for you to just give an oversight of your city as a whole. How is Stockton doing as you're heading into 2019?
Stockton is trending in the right direction. Our population is growing. But with that, we've also seen a 40% reduction in homicide, a 33% reduction in shootings. This May, we're prepared to give over 1,000 students a guaranteed scholarship to a four-year school, a two-year school, or a trade school. We're spending a lot of time thinking about how to do downtown redevelopment right. We have a couple market rate and affordable projects in the pipeline now. So we have issues with homelessness and housing like every other city in California, but the city of Stockton in 2019 is radically different than the city of Stockton I met when I was on city council in 2013, even when I was first elected mayor in 2016.
So, talking about homelessness for just a moment, how are you guys approaching that issue, and what's on the horizon for helping to solve the housing crisis?
Yeah, so we're doing a state-regional approach. So right now the city and the county are working very closely together to figure out sort of how do we use our continuum of care to ensure that we're able to build permanent supportive housing for people. I tell people all the time, if you hate homelessness, like I do, that you have to love affordable housing and housing options that people can afford. Number two, I just brought a group of folks from the county and the city to New York for 3 days to work with folks from Bloomberg Philanthropies to devise a strategy. And that's supposed to be, that work's ongoing and moving forward. The city just joined Kaiser's Housing Accelerator to working with Kaiser and others to figure out how do we build more affordable housing. We're talking to developers about tiny home projects in the city. We're working on creative partnerships with Caltrans to employ some individuals who are homeless to help kind of pick up trash and keep our streets clean. We're doing everything that we can. I was also able to get Stockton part of the Big City Mayors Coalition. So now we're eligible for millions of dollars in HEAP funds to address homelessness as a city. So we're doing everything we can, but I know a lot of folks out there are frustrated. So we have to keep working and keep our eye on the prize, which is how do we make sure we house folks with dignity in our community.
And one part of that, one little niche is those tiny houses, and they seem to attract people's attention so much. Do you run into barriers in your city, or do you have barriers against where those small homes can be put, so to speak?
Yeah, so right now we allow for accessory dwelling units, granny flats, so folks will put them in their backyards. But there's a couple of developers that have approached us about doing kind of a mobile trailer tiny home sort of concept, but it's so new.
Yeah.
And government being government, there's a lot of loopholes and bureaucracy to get through. So we're looking at our permitting process. We're looking at, is it state zoning laws? Is it local zoning laws? It's taking more time than I would like. But I think everyone understands the urgency. We've made housing and homelessness our top priority as a council. So I expect to see some things online and in the works over the next couple months.
So let's talk about SEED, Mayor. And that obviously was a bold move on your part that you introduced to Stockton. Where does SEED stand right now?
So SEED, last Friday, the 130 families received their first $500 disbursement. And I don't get to contact, and I don't even know who the recipients are. But I've heard from the folks running the program that folks have done things like fix their cars. They've done things like save their money. They've done things like take their family out for a nice meal. And that people were, like, crying and so excited for something as small as $500. And for me, this idea of SEED being bold comes from the realization that the status quo just isn't working for the majority of people in this country, but especially in my city. Where the median income is only $46,000 for a household. So for individuals between $23,000 and $25,000, when folks are working two or three jobs and still can't pay rent because our rents are rising, or still can't pay utilities, I felt as a leader, It would be irresponsible for me not to do something different and not to push the envelope just to provide folks an economic floor. So I think what's been exciting is that because of that bold step, I've seen other leaders step up and also propose solutions, whether it's Governor Newsom in his last budget where he called for a doubling of the earned income tax credit, whether it's Senator Harris, who talks about her Lift Every American Act, which is $500 a month for families who make $100K or less, whether it's Senator Booker with his baby bonds, or Senator Warren, or Senator Brown. Like, you see all these proposals coming out from presidential contenders around how do we make sure that Americans, working Americans, have an economic floor on which to build upon. So it feels great that Stockton, even the city of Chicago, launched a task force. And the task force recommendation was to pilot a basic income in Chicago modeled after Stockton's basic income demonstration. So it's exciting for me that the city for so long has been looked to as a city of problems. Like, you look at Stockton for what not to do, and now folks are beginning to look at Stockton for solutions.
SEED is financed currently by private donations, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What's the future for that? Are you looking at a measure on the ballot to provide money as you get deeper into the program through the years, if it stays around through the years?
Well, I think the first step is after the 18 months looking at the data and research. I have my ideas of what's going to happen. You have your ideas. Those listening have their ideas. But I'm really looking forward to the data driving our decision making. But I've said from the beginning, I don't think any city, it would be wise for one city in an oasis of many cities to be the only city to provide like a basic income or a guaranteed income or income floor. I think it would have to be a statewide or a nationwide policy. And that's why I've been so excited by Governor Newsom's talk about doubling their earned income tax credit, which essentially is money for folks who are working, who may be struggling, and measures like that. So I expect the data in Stockton to inform a kind of state and national conversation about, is this something that, does it work? And if it works, then how do we pay for it?
Speaking of Governor Newsom, you were part of his transition team. That task is over, excuse me, for the moment. But are you still in an advisory position with that group, with the governor?
Yes. Yeah, so I would credit the governor and his administration for being really interested in hearing particularly about the Central Valley and in Stockton. The governor has already been to Stockton since he's been governor. He invited me to sit with his family at the State of the State address to listen to some issues facing the Central Valley, his plans for them. He put $2 million in his first budget to begin the process to bring a public institution, a CSU, to Stockton. So he's been a great partner and a great supporter of Stockton. We're thankful for his leadership.
And turning to that possibility of a CSU in Stockton, you also have Assemblywoman Susan Eggman, I understand, and a couple of sponsors, co-sponsors, introducing legislation. So it looks like maybe the tide has turned, at least in the approach to the possibility, so to speak, right?
Well, I think we're realizing that and thankful for Assemblymember Eggman's leadership for many years on this issue. But we realize that in the greatest state, in the greatest nation in the world, it makes no sense that Stockton, California, Sauk King County is the second largest metro area and the largest in the state without a public institution of higher learning. Especially when Sauk King County has had the fastest demographic growth over the last 6-7 years, as folks continue to get priced out of the coastal areas, they're moving to Central Valley. And the future of the state of California is in cities like Stockton and counties like Sauk King. I think people are beginning to realize that. So I'm excited by working with the governor, the legislator, the lieutenant governor, and our assembly member to really figure out how do we create a CSU in Stockton. Not just for Stockton, a CSU for Stockton benefits the entire state, because now we have, I think, 4,000 or 40,000 students were turned away from the CSU system, not because they didn't have the grades, not because they didn't work hard, but because there wasn't enough room.
I'm talking with Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs about the state of the city of Stockton. You mentioned crime and serious crime, the stats say, is down in your city. How did that happen? Are there programs? Is it a multitude of things? What made that good news happen in 2019?
We are blessed with a great police chief in the police department that's taken very seriously the need to community police and to build relationships with community-based organizations and with individuals. Number two, we have a strategy we've been running called Ceasefire, which has helped us become better data-informed in terms of who are the folks actually driving our violent crime rate and our homicide rate. And then number three, last year, the community and the council made the courageous step to add another program in called Advanced Peace, which provides even more case management, even more opportunities, and after 6 months, stipends to individuals who are selected to be part of a fellowship who oftentimes have been targeted because they've been either victims or perpetrators of violent crime. So I think that community rallying around, making a priority, I think programs like Advanced Peace and then the foundational work of our Office of Violence Prevention and our peacekeepers create this multifaceted approach. But we definitely still have work to do. This weekend, we had two children who are victims of homicides, mm-hmm. which are reminders to us that our work is never finished, that even one homicide is too many. So we're proud of the work we did last year, but we're still focused on trying to get as close to zero as possible on homicides over the next coming years.
How's the rapport with the citizens and the police department?
I think our police chief has done, and his staff, the police department, have done a really amazing job over the past, since I was on city council, so the past like 6 years, about really sitting in tough conversations. So we have a reconciliation commission. When our police chief has personally sat and had reconciliation sessions with many community groups, some like the Filipino community who remembers their buildings being bombed by Stockton police in the early 1900s. He and the city manager sat and did a use of force listening tour and sat in the living rooms of anybody in Stockton who wanted them to listen to incidents of use of force with Stockton police, not just in the past 5 years he's been chief, but in the past 50, 60 years. And he's been really good at working with outside partners like the National Trust Initiative and others to really figure out sort of how do we build community trust. And understanding that's not going to happen overnight, that in an institution like policing and a police department that has a history like ours has had, that the work is difficult. But I would say I'm proud of our officers for the way they've stepped up. I see them they go to as many, if not more, community meetings as me. Sometimes I tell them, like, you do a lot of policing and social work. They're so involved, but they understand there's a lot of work to do to build that trust up. So I'm proud of them.
Mayor Tubbs, you recently received the JFK New Frontier Award. What is that about?
It's a great question. From my understanding, I think every year the JFK Library and the Harvard Institute of Politics finds a nonprofit leader under 40 and an elected official under 40 who embody, in their opinion, the ideals of JFK when he talked about the new frontier in his inauguration speech in terms of pushing the political imagination and helping usher in America to a new era. So it's a huge honor, and I think it's really, the award went to me, but it's really about the work the community has done over the past couple years, and I used to be the quarterback for it. So I'm I was very thankful and humbled. President Kennedy is President Kennedy. But it was also a reminder that the work we're doing in Stockton, people around the nation are watching and are being inspired by it. So we have to keep pushing on, keep moving forward, and not get complacent because we still have a lot of work to do.
That is Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs. Mayor Tubbs, thank you for being on the Insight. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure's mine.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.